Soul Tape. The champ is Champions here. Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Welcome to Urban Media Today Radio. I'm your co-host Bill Neal, along with Kevin Cameron. It is Soul Take, Champions Live Sports Talk Show.
I need to remind you of this because sometimes y'all forget. I know you be listening, but sometimes you forget. We are, in fact, the only all-black produced, owned, directed, starred sports talk show in all of Western Pennsylvania. For that matter, all of Pennsylvania, and that means y'all up in Altoona. And Hubie, you know what I mean when I say y'all in Altoona. It ain't the y'all that's with us. It's the y'all that's with them.
But it's for everybody, Bill, right? We just have it from a different perspective, right?
It's a perspective that a lot of people don't hear about. Soul Take needs to be. And that voice you just heard is my partner in crime, Kevin Cameron. The professional's professional, as I introduce him. About to kick it with you with all kind of good stuff in the sports world and some other stuff, too. But got to let you know who's in the room tonight in case you're looking for them. Either one of these guys owe you money, you know where to find them. Joined the night by one of the greatest athletes in Western Pennsylvania history, Hubie Bryant, who hails from Penn Hills High School by way of Minnesota and the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to talk about all kind of stuff, stuff he's doing, stuff he's done, stuff he wants to do, all the good stuff. And my partners from back in the day, roommate, best friend in the world, Larry Baxter, former triple jump champion. And that's the stuff I can say on air. There's some other stuff he championed, but I can't talk about it.
Be nice, Bill.
Because his wife will hear the show. And Miss So-and-so out there, Larry's married now. Let it go. It's over. It's been 40 years.
Bill, you just threw out a banging question, man. Why you put it out there like that? Now she's going to be asking.
She'll be giving you a call. It's not my problem.
Well, you just raised it. It's not my problem.
And my other partner that... just the greatest guy in the world. Larry Harper joins us, and people may have forgotten the sweetest jump shot in all of Westmoreland County for a minute. And I know that for a fact, and Larry will admit that too, because we got to see his jump shot a lot, considering that he didn't pass it back.
I saw it up at Trees Hall, too.
Was it still sweet then?
Yeah, it was sweet.
Yeah,
Larry Harper. Trees Hall at Pitt.
At Pitt, that's where.
I played there many times.
If you were a baller back in the day, you had to come through Trees.
Okay. Yeah.
And shed some blood.
Yeah.
Hey, we was up at Trees one night. The brother named Maurice Brown, nicknamed Chicken.
Super Chicken,
one of the fastest people that ever come out of this part of the country. Ran down to San Jose State with John Carlos and Tommy Smith. I mean, fast. Two speeds, fast and fast as he needed to be. And we're up at Trees Hall now. The middle court was where the ballers were. The left side court was just hanging out. And Hubie was warming up on the other court while we was playing. Something broke out. Me and Chicken was on the center court, and something broke out. Chicken said, "Man, Hubie, they about to jump you." And now it was only 15 feet from one court to the next.
Exactly.
By the time we got there, Hubie took one out and was about to take out the other one. Chicken said he don't need us, man. Let's get back to the game. Look, and I guess the guy miscued. He must have thought, this guy can't be no trouble.
Well, they found out the hard way.
You don't try the unknown unless you know what's up. But we're here for you tonight. We're going to talk about all kinds of... Kev, I got to start off with something that's most important. I know we're going to do a lot of laughing tonight, but I do want to ask you to offer some heartfelt condolences. I understand that there's been another loss of life in your family and a young person that, you know, we never, ever, ever want to see these things, no matter what the circumstances. But go right ahead and talk about it.
Yes, before I get into my family situation, of course, everyone is aware by now that the great Aretha Franklin has passed last week, and we'll be doing kind of like a tribute, I guess, Bill, in between the segments, and we'll play some Aretha Franklin music. But she was definitely, one of the top musical artists in the industry, for sure. The other loss, and this just happened over the weekend, and I'm actually sad to say, I actually lost my cousin, Delane Cameron Jr., Saturday night going into Sunday morning. It was actually Sunday morning at 2 p.m., and it made the local news. So a lot of people are probably aware of this. Down on the North Shore at Tequila Cowboy, right outside of there,
that's right down from Bettis' place, right?
Right across the street from Bettis. Yeah. He was hanging out, from what I understand, with some of his friends. And the guy was trying to come in. A white guy was trying to come in around the same age, and he was shirtless, and they refused to let him in. And again, this is all based on the media reports and everything. And somehow, you know, he started a altercation with my cousin Delaney Cameron Jr. and his friends. And the end result was he actually stabbed them in the neck, and it was fatal. So I'm, you know, my heart is definitely heavy, you know, today, and also hearing the news. And this is actually, you know, the second loss within 3 weeks for our family. We just lost my Uncle Amos and his grandfather 2 weeks ago. And we actually had a chance to spend time with Delaney Cameron Jr., you know, during that time. And so one was expected, and this one was really unexpected. You know, you're talking about my uncle who was sick, 81 years old, versus someone that is 24 years old and just looking to have a nice time, you know, wasn't trying to cause trouble or anything, and unfortunately trouble found him. So if I can ask for everyone to continue to lift the family up in prayer.
Well, we'll be done, and our condolences and best wishes. And we know a great many of the folks from Aliquippa tune into us every week, so we want to offer those condolences and best wishes to the family.
And let me say this too, Bill. You mentioned Aliquippa, but he's not from Aliquippa. His dad, Delaney Cameron Sr., is actually from Leesdale, so the Swickley area.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wish the best. And, gentlemen, tonight you will be able to bear witness to some quality artistry presented by Kevin. And unfortunately, I can't say that every week because he rolls in here with some music that ain't nobody ever heard of, but with him and Kiki.
Well, you're going to hear, since we're doing the tribute.
Well, tonight.
You'll be on it.
Well, I'm saying, I'm about to tell him tonight, he can't miss you because it's all Aretha. You know, you can start playing Aretha Franklin hits right now and be done maybe Sunday. You can play Aretha Franklin hits nonstop and it won't quit till Sunday. But let me remind everybody.
And we're going to talk about Tiger Woods. I know you're going to go over the agenda today as well, but when we talk about Aretha Franklin and we talk about respect, we're going to talk about how people are really starting to respect Tiger Woods' game now.
He's back. I've been saying
this for the longest, but I'll save it.
Yeah, and look, just a reminder, it's Soul Take Champions Live, coming to you live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Every Tuesday we record it, every Wednesday you hear it. And we are partnered with the new Pittsburgh Courier, Rod Doss, Stephen Broadus, Rob Taylor. They promote us every week via the paper, the oldest black publication in all of America. And right now, Kevin Cameron will tell you where to find us tomorrow night. Please do, Kev.
You can find us. And again, if you're listening to the show, you're probably connected already. And we come to you every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. at urbanmediatoday.com. You can also connect with us on Twitter. We are at Soul Tape Champions Live, PGH Sports. Again, Soul Tape Champions Live at STCL Sports, I should say. Okay, one more time. Soul Tape Champions Live at STCL Sports on Twitter.
Sounds good. So you're tuned in. Stay tuned in. And look, tell your family, tell your friends. Tell people you say that they're your friends, but you really don't like them. Tell everybody to start listening to the show. And let's kick it with, you know, I've been saying for a long time, Kev. Now, let me tell you guys. Kevin Cameron is a legitimate golfer. So legit that you always got to ask you to state this, Kev. You just won a particular tournament that elevated you to another level. Tell the guys what that is so they know the level that you're golfing.
Well, I wouldn't say it elevated me, but it's always nice winning anything. Okay, so the Q's had a golf tournament. I'm not sure if any of you played in the Q's golf tournament, but I actually shot a 78 there, so I was pretty happy.
That's good.
Yeah.
A 78 is good, ladies and gentlemen.
So I was actually.
You don't know what that is.
Yeah, so I was first in my flight, and so did pretty good. So I decided to try my hand on the amateur tour that I'm now currently playing on, the Golf Channel amateur tour. So
okay.
I'm having my up and downs on that right now.
That's worth it. That's worth it. All right.
So that being said, I have offered. Now, Hubie, you can relate to this. Well, see, now I can. Hubie ain't married like me, so me and Hubie, we the only ones telling the truth here tonight. Now, Larry Baxter and Larry Harper are going to be lying to you all night. But me and Hubie can tell the truth because we ain't married, and we ain't scared of nobody. But
not even Omarosa.
Hubie Bryant, the former Pittsburgh Steeler, that of the NFL, I'm sure you've had some runs in your time. I have been saying for quite some time, and I'm just saying, and I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer by a long shot, but do the math. When Tiger was the baddest man on the planet, he had 14 women.
Yes, he did.
He had a wife and 14 women.
Bill, we're talking about this again.
Hold it, man. And then they showed all 14 on the TV screen at one time. That's how they do it, brother.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, they all worked at a bar somewhere.
So are you well, trying to say he had one for each major? He has 14 majors right now.
Barmaids.
Now, there's two things you're going to know, Harper. One, this is my show. Two, shut up. Now, listen. So when he had 14 women, he was the best man on the planet. When the 14 women went away, his game went away. Now, if he's back, Hubie, wouldn't we assume the women are back? Isn't it safe to assume that the women are back?
He got a new crew.
Got a new crew.
He got a new crew.
That's what I'm thinking.
He hasn't been same since he got hit in the throat with a 7-iron.
That'll
was it the throat or the knee or the back? Maybe a little bit of everything, huh?
Yes. That's when his game went down.
Exactly.
Yeah, that tree helped too.
That tree in the yard, right?
Yeah, that tree helped.
His back is better. Which means his swing is better. He incorporated a new swing. That boy's back.
Yeah, and you know he's back because he's on the cover of Golf, and that means the money is starting to
flow.
It's starting to flow again. That's when you know he's got the attention. Kev, what is it? Kevin has predicted that Tiger will not only win four more majors, but five.
He'll win five.
You on record for saying Tiger will win five more majors and become the greatest golfer of all time, and only two strokes off of getting one since in the first one in 10 years.
I believe he's already the greatest golfer of all time.
Okay.
However, it'd be nice for him to get the record for most majors of all time. Not only is he the best golfer of all time, he has had the biggest impact on golf than any other golf.
Everybody wants to say.
Yeah, that's
definitely. And he's been in position to win it. The last couple of times he's been out, he's been set to win it. But somebody might play it a little bit better. Somebody got two or three birdies at the end, you know. But he could have won the last two tournaments.
Let me digress a second because this is going to go out across the country, and in all seriousness, some people that we know are going to be hearing. So that voice, ladies and gentlemen, is Larry Harper. Slippery Rock University back in the day, early 70s, we all kicked it back in the day, had tons of fun and played a ton of ball together. And I just found out today while I was at Harper's Hotel that hey, Hubie, Harper got 32 TVs in his man cave. You can watch every game in the NFL at the same time. And when I was telling you, Harper, that's how Kevin's game room is. He got... Hey, Kev, but Harper got you beat because he got about 50 bobbleheads. He got you beat on bobbleheads.
I might have to make a visit.
Man.
Do
nice
inspection, man.
Nice
hair. Hey, okay. He got Kevin's – oh, man, you got to see it to believe it. But look, I just found out today that you're a golfer. So pull that mic a little closer. Let me just talk to you about this a little bit. So how long have you been golfing, like seriously?
About 15, 20 years.
So you've been around the game a minute.
Yeah, I haven't got to par yet. Because I don't play often.
Okay,
that's
so
the big key. That's the big key to golf. You have to play often. You can't do what I do, maybe play 9 holes or 18 holes a week. You have to play at least 3 times a week. Would you agree with that?
I definitely agree.
You know, because you have to get the mechanics, and it's got to be – you have to hit the ball the same way. And then now it's even more to it.
And just, you know, for the record, you mentioned par. And for those folks out there listening that might not know what par is, for every hole, there's a set number of strokes that you're supposed to have to do good on that particular hole. So you have a par for every hole. And over 18 holes, when you mention par, you're a scratch golfer. Yeah. And I could actually say I do not know one scratch golfer. That's how hard it is to actually play at the par level. So normally when you get there, you're normally playing, for the most part, you know, high-level type of golf.
Have either of you guys ever had a hole-in-one?
No. But what I always done is, when he was talking about pars is like, if it's a par 72, that means you've golfed that course exactly how it was designed. Myself, I'm always shooting for par from about 30 feet away. so they call me Humphrey Bogart because of all the bogeys that I
have.
Well, at least you.
Hey, but I enjoy it for the fellowship, you know what I mean?
And just from an amateur standpoint, the average score is a 96. For amateur, the average amateur will shoot like a 96. So
on a 72 par course,
not necessarily, because they vary. You know, some might be a 70 par course, another one might be 72, and then you have different things like slope ratings and everything else that indicates the toughness of a course. On average, across all courses, normally a 96 is average for an amateur.
So, Kev, do this for me, because we haven't talked about this at all. The advent of African-Americans playing golf on a major level, but what about blacks playing golf across the board in the everyday, every weekend warrior scenario? Say in the last 20 years has been the major uprising?
I would think that number has increased. I don't have the numbers right in front of me.
I think Tiger Woods had effect.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And again, that goes back to what I said as far as the biggest impact to the game. Not only just, you know, what the purses are for as far as the amount that you win during each tournament, but the media coverage, the type of players that play. Actually, the guy that just beat him, Koepka, I think his first name is Bruce, if I'm not mistaken, Bruce Koepka. He's one of the biggest Tiger fans around. So now Tiger is starting to play against the guys that, you know, they were kids when he was in his prime. And I always mention, there's three type of Tigers. You know, Tiger 1 was just invincible. He's the guy that won 14 majors. And then you have Tiger 2, the one that struggled, couldn't, you know, stay healthy. And now we're dealing with Tiger 3. So those guys he's playing against now are the guys that actually watched Tiger 1, and they were big fans of Tiger 1 and continue to be today.
I'm going to come back to you, Kev, because I want to get your assessment on following up on the
FedEx Cup?
Well, the prediction that you have for Tiger and what's coming down the road with Tiger. But I want to bounce to Hubie for a second, because HB, you're the man in the room that ascended to the highest level of football known to mankind. You played in the University of Minnesota, where you're one of their all-time great players and Hall of Famers. And with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I have a specific question to what Kevin was talking about. You know, all of us have played a level of sports to some degree, and we've all heard you can't win in the training room. You can't win anything in the training room.
In the tub.
So as an NFL player, how many times did injuries play a major role in what you could have done?
Thanks to AstroTurf.
Now we're really going way back, right?
Yeah.
You answer that question, if I can jump in, if you could just let our audience know the years that you played in the NFL.
70 through 73.
So you played a year with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you played 2 years with New England.
Right.
The good New England, before they started to cheat.
Oh yeah. We were up and coming too. It's ironic, before I answer that question, but Pittsburgh and New England started their rise at the same time. Pittsburgh did a little differently defensively by getting Joe and Dwight and LC and Ernie, and they brought Bradshaw in. New England built it offensively through drafting Jim Plunkett. And then they added some pieces. But it's they were both in the same place in 72. They were both in the same place. So it's kind of parallel that, like, two Hall of Fame quarterbacks I got a chance to play with, and they all had different agendas. Vataha, Plunkett's Stanford roommate was Randy Vataha, so, I got what I could. I got table scraps. but back to the injury situation. My claim to really getting into the door, there's two things in sports that if you have size and you have speed, 9 chances out of 10 you can get a look. Well, I could always run, and that was my forte. And Snapper Stein, he was my trainer at Minnesota, and he was one of those old great guys that knew everything medically. And he used to rub me down. He'd be like, "Come here, kid. Let me get you something. I can go on and do what I got to do. Come on, let me get that muscle." And he was really good at giving you a massage. And he says, "You know that you're prickly," and I like said, "What?" and this cat is on my muscle, you know what I mean? But he explained to me that sprinters are like thoroughbred horses. He said the slightest little tweak in your muscles you'll feel, whereas a lineman or a tight end or running back, won't even feel it. And I never pulled a hamstring. All the track I ran, all the hills we ran up in Lincoln Park, Big Ten sprint champion, the whole nine yards. I never pulled a hamstring until I got on AstroTurf. And a guy told me that when you stick your foot in the ground on natural grass, it slides, whereas on turf it sticks. Mm-hmm. And needless to say, my second year in New England, I pulled a hamstring on a kickoff return. Rick Volk had his hand around my ankle, and I tried to kick out of it because I kick out, I'm gone. Mm-hmm. And that thing popped. And from that point on, I couldn't get it right. So proof of that is New England sends me to Houston, and I'm doing pretty good in Houston. And contract issues or whatever, I didn't sign, so they released me. I kind of knew that was – you kind of know the handwriting on the wall when they ask you, "Look, we want you to sign this contract by this afternoon's practice." Well, if you don't sign it, you pretty much pack your bags that night and be ready when they – knock on your door. But so I sat out 73, and then in 74 I was drafted into the World Football League. I played 22 games on grass. Never had a problem.
So to my point, and we'll be back with Hubie, to my point, Tiger's back, which was the continual problem. How can you stroke a ball if your back is hurting? Let alone, what, three surgeries? Three back surgeries?
I think four.
Four back surgeries? Mm-hmm. So injuries obviously play a big part. But I do want to get back to Kevin's point. The Tiger Man is on the front cover of golf. That means the bucks are rolling in around his name again. The advertising's never been greater than it was when Tiger's playing golf. The following, the grandstands, the uproar, the noise. you know, I liken Tiger coming to when he's coming down the fairway with that red shirt on. And I liken it to when you're watching a Rocky movie and he gets hit and that music starts playing. Whoever's in the movie, do you hear that music playing? You're getting ready to get your ass beat. When the music starts playing, you got to get out of Rocky's way, man. When you see that red shirt coming at you, you know, there's been a continual, how many years, Kevin? How many years is this for Tiger?
In total?
Yeah. I mean, as a major player.
Well, he missed 3 to 4 years because of injury. So the total years I will have to look up.
But roughly?
Roughly, I would say probably about 15 years.
Okay. Roughly. So this guy's been a major force. You know, not many athletes.
As a pro.
As a pro. Not many athletes in any sport can lay claim to that.
Maybe Kevin would know this. He was used to get paid fees. And still golf for the championship.
Attendance.
No, you got a pool company.
Yeah, he used to get paid fees. Say the purse was a couple million dollars. He already got paid his money before he even swung the first.
Show up money.
Right. Yeah, show up money, and then he would win. So
give us a rundown, Kev. What's next for Tiger? What's it looking like, and when does he get another opportunity to win?
So now we're into the playoffs, and the playoffs are called the FedEx Cup. So over the next 4 weeks, they'll have four tournaments, and with the four tournaments, there'll be cutdowns. So they start off with 125 players that qualify. And then the cut down, they cut 25 based on the results. They get down to 100, and then they go to 70, and then they go to 30. So based on that setup, whoever does the best will be the FedEx Cup champion, and I think there's a $10 million prize as well. Now, keep in mind, Tiger came in second place during the PGA Championship. And he made over $1 million for coming in second. So there was a big difference between second and third. If I can remember, the third place person, I forget the name, it'll come to me. But I believe he won $750,000, somewhere in that neighborhood. And they were tied going into the last hole. And Tiger ended up making a birdie, and he ended up making a bogey. So that caused him to lose close to $300,000 somewhere in that neighborhood.
So in other words, don't cry for me, Argentina. Tiger's doing all right.
He is doing all right. Along with all the endorsements and everything else as well.
So now his next opportunity, well, two things. The Ryder Cup,
right.
your projection there as it relates to Tiger, and his next opportunity to win a major.
Well, the next opportunity for a major doesn't come until April of next year. Okay. And remember, we had Rob Robinson on the show a number of times, and he indicated that he felt Tiger would win his next major next year. So, again, we'll see. But he's definitely, if he stays healthy, he's definitely positioned.
What you mean is the golf pro who said Tiger wouldn't win his next major until next year told you, not the golf pro, that you insisted he would.
Well, I just said he would win five.
What you're trying to say is the golf pro was right and you were wrong.
Not at all. I said he would win five.
I was helping you.
So you win.
I was helping you
win those five.
I was trying to help you say that.
Oh, well, you said it the wrong way.
The golf pro on our show said he wouldn't.
I give credit where credit is due.
Now, what if hear it.
What if he wins two? Now, who's right? If he wins two next year, I would be right because Rock feels he would only win one. But the way he's playing, I just see that he'll do very well. But your question regarding the Ryder Cup, you earn there's eight players that actually earn a spot on the Ryder Cup. And then there's three captains that are chosen. So it's pretty well known that Tiger's really a lock for one of those positions.
And what team leader in his right mind right now would not put Tiger on
Jim,
that team?
Well, it's Jim Furyk's decision. But it's pretty much a done deal. And you know Jim Furyk, he's from Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, and he's a big Steeler fan as well. Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
Okay, didn't know. Mm-hmm. Well, look, all that, and you know, the world is waiting for Tiger to erupt again, and he gave us a little tease in the last week or so, and it'll be coming at you again. So stay tuned to Wood. But Hubie, my concern is, where are the women and how many are there? I mean, I've, you know, nobody wants to talk about the truth. I'm about the truth.
Well, you're single, man, but go ahead. Hubie
said there's a break. You ain't putting him on the spot.
Yeah. Right on time, right?
Right on
so
time.
So let's break this thing up, Bill, and let's hit all this stuff on the other side.
Hubie took the break.
I took the break.
And we'll let it go with that. We'll be right back in a moment.
Nice to Media Marketing and Promotions is an independently owned marketing and promotions company handling all your social media, event planning, brand marketing, and promotional needs for small, nonprofit, and big corporations. If you need more information about rates and services or more, call 443-252-3923 or log on to the website at nicetomediamarketing.com.